Minutes to 9 o'clock, and Penny Faree, our investigative journalist, has been out and about this week putting together the stories that possibly haven't been covered by the mainstream media, but we bring them to you every week. Certainly Penny does, and does an excellent job. What's happening this week, Penny?
Good morning, Dave, and good morning to everyone tuning in this morning. So we've got a few segments that have actually made the news this week. A major breakthrough in the Kwadukuza murder case has brought long-awaited closure to the family and colleagues of a senior traffic officer who was killed in the line of duty almost a year ago at the Durban High Court. 26-year-old Pilikani Dladla was convicted of murder, robbery with aggravating circumstances, hijacking and unlawful possession of a firearm and ammunition. The case relates to the killing of Senior Superintendent Desmond Arumabang, who was shot near the Intergrateful off-ramp on November the 4th, 2024, while responding to a robbery in progress. According to the court records, Dladla boarded a minibus taxi at the Kwadukuza taxi rank. He took the front passenger seat and directed the driver, after he pulled a gun on him, towards Grateful. He then drew a firearm, robbed the driver of 1,100 rand in cash, and forced passengers to hand over the phones. When Arumugam arrived on the scene in full uniform and approached the stopped taxi, Dladla opened fire, killing him. The accused fled with the hijacked taxi, abandoning it later in Tembeni. Testimony from the driver and the passengers placed Dladla at the scene. Investigators later recovered a firearm with a filed off serial number at a KwaMashu shack linked to the accused, with ballistics confirming it was the murder weapon. Kwadukuza municipality welcomed the conviction as an important step in restoring confidence in the justice system. And the proposal to install shark safety gear at the Tinley Manor Beach is entering its final days of public participation, with the window of comment closing for early next week. Kwadukuza Municipality is seeking approval to deploy a 200-meter shark net along with four drum lines as part of its coastal safety planning ahead of the major Club Med Tinley development. Figures presented during public meetings last week show the resort is expected to draw more than 30,000 visitors a year, most of them international. Positioning Tinley Manor as one of KwaZulu-Natal's busiest beaches once it opens, the KZN Sharks Board has warned that with visitor numbers at that scale, even a single incident could impact tourism confidence. Environmental groups argue that Tinley Manor has never recorded a shark incident and that lethal gear is unnecessary and harmful. They point to risks to dolphins, rays and other non-target species and say Kwadukuza should instead consider modern non-lethal alternatives, including exclusion barriers, aerial surveillance and early warning systems. Once the comment period closes, the full record will be submitted to the Department of Forestry, Fishery and the Environment, which will decide whether the installation is approved, amended or rejected. And residents have only a few days left to participate before the process concludes.
Interesting one that, eh?
Yeah, we're going to see what the outcome is.
And with that department in the news at the moment,
yes,
due to
the
minister having
the
been fired.
Yeah. Well, you know, the DA did push for the removal of Minister Dion George. You know, he's been...
What is your take on that?
Well, he's been driving reforms aimed at phasing out canned, a captive line and the bone industry.
And also the fishing industry. I think you'd find that
he's pretty
pro-removing things like shark nets as well.
Well, the environmental group said George was one of the only few ministers willing to take on wild and live breeding sectors, which holds obviously strong commercial interest. And I know the Daily Maverick reported that the breeders and the industry lobbyists have been resisting his reforms for months. And now, you know, allegedly the new minister who's replaced him, he's Willie Ormkamp, he's, you know, his move has been confirmed by the presidency, and they say that, you know, he's not that adverse to canned hunting and lion captivity. So we're going to see how that...
We'll watch that closely.
Yeah, it just raises concerns about whether his efforts, you know, George's efforts to end canned lion breeding and remove captive hunting and the bone trade will not be stalled or even reversed.
Yeah, well, I was scanning the media last night, and it was fairly obvious that the conservation authorities say that this move is likely to put conservation efforts back years, which is just it's an indictment, really.
And that industry has to be regulated. It is just shocking when you go into it.
Yeah, I tried to get John Steenhuisen's comment. I did try. I got through to his secretary, etc. And they said, look, they've released a voice note and a press release, and that ends the matter there.
Yeah.
I don't think it does, but we'll continue to try.
I think it's a very, very important matter. And you know what? You can't just make it go away. It's a very, you know, important portfolio, and you know what is unpacking. Yeah. You know,
I'm hoping to get them on a podcast so that we can really unpack things
Absolutely.
In great detail.
Yeah.
And we need to, you know, the world that we live in is we all have a responsibility.
And what we are also looking at, Kodikuza Municipality has rejected allegations by the ANC Youth League that the administration is employing so-called ghost workers, describing the claims as false and malicious. They released a press statement this week, and the Youth League alleged that certain individuals appear on the payroll without reporting for duty, and they've accused the municipality of favoring insiders during recruitment. Ghost workers are typically individuals who remain on salary despite no longer performing municipal duties, including former staff, suspended employees, or people who have left the institution entirely. Municipal insiders told us this week that members of the special investigating unit were indeed present at the municipality this week. The SIU's visit forms part of a national proclamation issued in January authorizing investigators to probe procurement and infrastructure contracts in Kodikuza dating back to 2018. And as we covered during that period, the proclamation covers concerns around a 36-month rehabilitation tender, the bulk supply contract, which was linked to the Kodikuza Mall. And we're also going to be looking at a substation that was all falls under the SIU's mandate to investigate possible maladministration, irregular expenditure, fraud, and corruption. In its public statement, the municipality said all payroll and recruitment processes include several layers of internal control, union participation, and audit oversight, making unauthorized payments or unrecorded employees impossible without triggering red flags. Officials urge anyone with verifiable documentary evidence to submit it directly to the municipal manager, adding that unsubstantiated accusations damage public confidence during a critical budget and oversight cycle. And finally, we are looking at the North Coast, which is bracing for heavy holiday season. KZN authorities say this festive season is expected to be one of the busiest in years. Well, with the North Coast a major focal point, Tourism KZN is forecasting high domestic and international arrivals. With Matric Rage a week already underway, we're going to be seeing Belita, Saltrock, and the surrounding beaches are expected to reach peak visitor numbers earlier than usual. To manage the pressure, the province has deployed 24,000 law enforcement officers across KZN, including SAPS, Metro Police, traffic units, and specialized tactical teams. On the North Coast, police visibility will be intensified along the N2, M4, key off-ramps into Belita, the beach precincts, nightlife hubs, and high-density accommodation zones. Authorities say their priority is early visibility and faster response times, especially during the Rage Week when thousands of young people move between venues day and night. And additional patrols will focus on parking areas and pedestrian routes where opportunistic crimes have increased in previous years. And officials are urging residents to report suspicious activity promptly, secure homes before traveling, and expect higher traffic volumes. They say strong policing paired with an alert community will be key to a safe season. And finally, what we're ending with is, are we losing real friends to social media? New research is raising a difficult question. As our digital networks grow, are our real friendships shrinking? A major Harvard Kennedy School study reports that the number of adults who say they have no close friends has quadrupled since the early 1990s, a trend researchers call a friendship recession. Surveys show fewer than half of social media users regularly communicate with close friends online. Most interactions are passive, scrolling, watching, browsing, without the meaningful exchanges that build connections. Psychologists warn that as time once spent face-to-face is replaced by screen time, support systems weaken and the loneliness increases, especially among teenagers and young adults who appear socially active online but feel emotionally unsupported offline. Experts note that long work hours, economic pressure, and rising stress contribute to the problem, but social media has fundamentally altered the rhythm of social life, creating the feeling of connection without the substance of it. For communities like ours, the message is clear. Strong neighborhoods depend on real relationships, people who talk to each other, know each other, and show up. As researchers put it, strengthening communities may require fewer likes and more conversations, because real friendships only exist in the real world. And this is this week's Friday Focus, Story Shaping Life on the North Coast. You can listen, share, or look view the full program via our WhatsApp and our online platforms at lifeandstyle.88fm.
Thank you, Penny. And the morning show continues with the band.